Harden. He lost it. They got to go to work quickly now. Five on the shot clock. Harden pulls a deep three and a bailout of epic proportions. Harden drives it. Embiid, three for the lead. Butter!
Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly with you for the next 4 hours. 4 hours of power, as my guy Rob Ellis would say. Good seeing Rob as always, but I'll be with you until 11 tonight. And there you heard a couple of the big moments last night as the Sixers beat the Bucks Saturday 133-130 in Milwaukee. And a tremendous game to watch. Certainly one of the best, most entertaining games of the season. James Harden phenomenal last night. Wills the Sixers back. Sixers down 14 going into the fourth. Joel Embiid steps up late as well. Hits a massive three late to really put the game away. Sixers up 125-124, and Embiid hit that three. And that really put the finishing touches on this comeback win. And hey, it's a great win. I mean, they go to Milwaukee. They snap the Bucks' 16-game winning streak. The Bucks' hottest team in the NBA. And the Sixers get it done. And the question after that game, I think, is an obvious one. But after that win in Milwaukee last night, does that change the way, or does that validate the way, that you view this team's chances to beat the Bucks or the Celtics heading into the playoffs? And if you want to get in and start show here, 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. But as the Sixers win that game, and obviously a big moment, Saturday night, primetime, and kind of the diametrically opposite result from what happened last Saturday night, where I was on after the game when the Sixers lost to the Celtics and they give up a big lead and they fall, and it kind of felt like the sky was falling at that point. 8 days later, they go to Milwaukee, they beat a really good team, and it's got a lot of people feeling positive. And I want to know where you fall on this, because, you know, I watch a game like last night, and sure, it was absolutely exciting. And the result was nice to see, and it's nice to see this team fight back and win a game like that on such a big stage. But I got to say, I wish I felt differently than I do, but I don't feel that that really changes anything for me in terms of where I see this team going in the postseason. And there are several reasons for that. Like, I still don't believe they can beat the Bucks. I still don't believe they can beat the Celtics in a 7-game series. And, you know, there are a lot of reasons. And do I have questions about this team's mental and physical toughness in the postseason? Yes, I do. Like, I've said that. I have questions about how they hold up both mentally and physically over the course of a long playoff run. And if you're playing your way all the way into the NBA Finals, you're talking about basically, you know, 3 months, 2.5, 3 months of extra basketball following the regular season. But even taking that out, and for the sake of this conversation, I'll remove that from the equation entirely. I'll wipe the slate blank in terms of what we've seen in past years, how that applies to now. We can take that out of it. But the bottom line is, from a roster perspective, this Sixers team is just not as good as those teams. And they are not capable of beating those teams and holding up and sticking with them over the course of a 7-game series. And if you want to join the show, 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494. But in the end, the Sixers are not nearly as deep and equipped to hold up in a playoff series as those teams. Postseason basketball is completely different than regular season basketball. And when you look at the Sixers roster here, depth is a huge factor. They have six, maybe seven, at most eight men that you can play in the playoffs. You have Melton coming off the bench. I mean, maybe you can tell me Jalen McDaniels, if he takes the strides necessary in the last couple weeks here, could he be playable for 10 to 15 minutes in a playoff game, potentially, just because he's really talented? I would say the same thing with Paul Reed, just because he offers a different look, gives a different kind of aspect that teams aren't really used to seeing. Maybe you can sell me on both of those guys being playable playoff players. But that's eight. That's eight at absolute most. And you're talking about teams in Milwaukee and the Celtics. I mean, these teams go essentially 10, 11 deep. Last night, you look at some of these outliers here. You get 16 points from George Niang. And, you know, George Niang will give you that once in a while. But in the postseason, you cannot have George Niang on the floor. Like, he's completely unplayable. Even in the regular season, if he's not making threes, he's useless. Even in the playoffs, even if he is making a couple shots, that guy can't defend anybody. I mean, he is going to get played off the floor. Good playoff teams who are well-coached, they are going to hunt him down every single time, find a mismatch, find, you know, an advantage. And play that guy. Think back to the Atlanta series a couple years ago. Seth Curry, who I think is a massively more valuable player than George Niang is, by the end of that series against the Hawks, Sixers couldn't even play Seth Curry. I mean, Seth Curry was getting hunted every single time down the floor, and in the postseason, teams will do that to a guy who they know they can take advantage of relentlessly. The lack of depth compared to the Bucks and the Celtics, for me, is just insurmountable in a series. And this is a problem with the Sixers. Like, what you see last night is what the issue is, because they'll tease you. They will tease you in these types of situations. And I am not faulting anybody for being excited. I'm not faulting anybody for saying today, you know, look how encouraging of a victory that was. That shows that the Sixers really are right there with the Bucks. They lost the Celtics last week by three, but even that game could have gone either way. You're right there with those teams. But this is the problem with this team. Is, yeah, they can do it on singular nights. They can do it in singular moments. They can play with those teams in certain situations. But in the playoffs, you need to do it every night. In the playoffs, you need to play that kind of game the Sixers played last night. You need to play that for 2 weeks in a series. And then guess what? You get to the next round, you're going to have to do it again. And you're going to have to do it every single night. And at most, you can have one game where you totally let down and you just pack it in. And that's the problem with the Sixers. They are not able to do it night after night. They're not able to be consistent. And a big part of that is because of the lack of depth. In the postseason, this team is going to need Joel Embiid and James Harden to play 40 to 45 minutes a night. I mean, just do the math with the guys that they have available on the bench. You're going to need 40 to 45 minutes a night from those two players who historically wear down in the postseason. You're going to need them to play those kind of minutes to beat these kind of teams in a seven-game series. And I really wish I feel differently than I do, but I just don't see a scenario in which the Sixers can play with the Bucks or the Celtics in a seven-game series. And I'd love to get your take on it. 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494 if you want to join the show. Do you believe the Sixers, after last night, did that victory sell you on the fact that they can play with Milwaukee or with Boston in a seven-game series? I just don't believe it, and I think it's because of depth. And again, I am taking benefit of the doubt. I'm taking history. I'm taking, you know, James Harden's previous playoff failures. I'm taking Joel Embiid and him kind of, you know, not coming up big all the time in the playoffs. I'm taking all that out of it. I'm just looking at this from a purely roster perspective. And in the course of a series, in the course of a long playoff run, the Sixers just are not going to be able to hold up with these teams. And that's a massive problem when you don't have a coaching advantage. Like Doc, regardless of what you think of him, even if you think he's not a terrible coach, and I don't think he's a terrible coach, but he's not a coach who's going to give you an advantage. And if you don't get advantages there, and you don't have role players who can support the starters, like, yeah, Embiid and Harden, they can do this on singular nights, but I just don't believe they're going to be able to do it against these kind of teams over the course of a long, grueling 10 to 14 day series where you're playing every other night, you know, where you're playing 40 to 45 minutes, where Joel Embiid, you know, can't take a maintenance night off like he did on Wednesday night in Miami. And it's the thing about the Sixers that is so frustrating, because you see the talent, you see the ability of the two stars, you see what they could be capable of. But in the end, I just don't think they have the depth. I don't think they have the roster. I don't think they have the support to you know, come up and play against those teams in the big moments and to hold up over the course of a seven-game series. So I'd love to know if you agree. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. And I'll ask my producer, Nick Coppola, to start the show tonight. Nick, I'm sure you watched that game last night. Now, Sixers-Bucks, did it change your mind at all, or did it validate your opinion at all? How do you feel after that game? Do you think the Sixers could, you know, beat the Bucks or the Celtics in a seven-game series?
It has not changed my mind at all. And it sounds it is so disheartening to say, Tom, because you want it to change your mind. You want to have some faith in this team going forward. But, Tom, we see it time and time again that this changes nothing. If you get this type of Harden play, one every five games, I would say maybe. But, Tom, when was the last time we saw Harden play at this level?
I mean, we've seen it throughout the course of the season. Like, but you've seen nights where he's done this.
Yes. Yeah. But, like, last night we got the old Harden.
Right.
When you get to the playoffs, the way that this team is built, you need the old Harden 3 out of 5 games, 4 out of 5 games. You need that, or else it's just not going to work. You can't have Embiid do every single thing like they have been consistently doing. But, no, it has not changed my mindset on this team. And it's going to take a lot more than just one win to do that.
Yeah, and that's where I am too. And if you want to get in here, 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494. And, you know, Nick brings up Harden there, and I think it's a good point because James Harden is essentially a microcosm of all of this. And watching that game last night, and Harden was phenomenal. There's no doubt about it. He was incredible last night in that game. But you know what that game reminded me of to a T? That was Miami game 4 last year. Because I remember that night and watching that game and watching that series. And after game 4, you know, Sixers tied up the series at 2. Harden was phenomenal. He took that game over. Embiid's playing with the hurt face. And at that point, the thought process is, okay, well, this is what James Harden's capable of. This team, you know, can compete in this series. They can win out 2 out of 3 now against Miami Heat. And then what happened? Like the rest of the series, James Harden essentially disappeared. And that's the story of James Harden, and it's the story of this team. They can do it once in a while. Like, in a series, they can do it against these teams 1 out of every 3 games. They can do it 1 out of every 4 games. But they can't do it every night. They just can't string together these kind of performances every single night, and because of where the roster is right now, they're not going to be in a position to. Like, they're going to get worn down. They're going to have to play too many minutes when it matters, and to me, that's the bigger thing. Like, consistency eludes them. And it's even more difficult when you don't have the depth, you don't have the support system in place to get these guys off their feet, get them a rest. And to me, that's a significant problem moving forward with this team. And it's why, you know, regardless of how exciting last night was, and it was exciting, and, you know, I would love to see the Sixers make a deep playoff run here, I just don't believe it's going to happen. You know, because we'll see these flashes. This is what they will do. Once in a while, they'll give you these types of performances to show what they are capable of, to show what they could potentially be. But in the end, regardless of what they've done in the past, you look at the roster, they're just not as good, they're not as deep, and in the playoffs, those things really matter. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. And we'll get things started on the phones with my buddy I haven't heard from in a while, Gus in Bethlehem. Hey, Gus.
But listen, Doc Rivers is a better coach than Budweiser, whatever the hell his name is. Budweiser, how he lost that game is rather remarkable. He outshot the Sixers, but you know, 53-50, 50% from three. And what does he do? He abandons the whole thing that got them there so that Antetokounmpo can be the, you know, the topping on the cake, you know, the cherry on top, and be the, you know, be the star of the 17-game winning streak. And they get totally out of sync, and that's how the Sixers creeped up and stole the game away from them. He is overrated as a coach. If Doc coached Milwaukee, they'd have 3 rings by now. There's no reason for Milwaukee to lose. They're loaded.
Gus, I mean, have you not watched Doc in the playoffs the last couple of years?
No, like, I have not watched Doc. Doc's a good coach. I'm tired of this. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He's going to end up in the Hall of Fame, whether you like it or not.
Well, I mean, I guess because of wins, they'll put him in.
I've watched Doc, and I've watched Buttonweiser. I watch them both.
Gus, do you think Doc is a coach who gives you an advantage in the postseason? You really do believe that?
I think the edge in coaching goes to the Sixers. I think they have a better staff than Milwaukee does. Do I think Milwaukee's a better team? Of course. But I don't understand the implications of what you're saying. What are you saying? We should stop watching?
No, I'm not.
They can't win. Let's throw in the towel.
No, Gus. Okay.
What is the implication of this?
I'm not saying that you should stop watching. I'm giving you my honest opinion. Now, if you want me to come on and wave pom-poms and be a cheerleader and say the Sixers are going to the finals, you know, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that. I'm giving my honest opinion. My honest opinion is last night them winning that game while being exciting, it doesn't change their outlook to me. Like, it doesn't make me believe they're going to beat the Bucks in a seven-game series.
Why do you have to have an outlook?
Because that's our job, Gus.
No. This is the philosophy of this station. If you don't win a parade at the end, it's all for naught. And that's not what a true sportsman fan, a true fan of sports like me, that's not my position. My position is you give me performances like these prize fights that they're giving me on a weekly basis, I'm with you. If you win, I want you to win bad. If you don't win, I'm going to be morose. But I'm not going to be angry or tear up my tickets or think that I wasted my time. This is fantastic athletic competition at the highest level in the world.
But Gus,
right,
that's not what we're arguing.
No,
like, we're not arguing about the quality of the games. The quality of the games have been phenomenal the last couple weeks.
I made the call to make that argument. My argument is you go out every night and you see what's going to happen. You never know. The Sixers can certainly play with the Celtics and the Bucks. The question is, can they beat the Bucks? But that's why we watch the games. We don't know until it's over.
Right, so Gus, then what? You don't want us to talk about anything? You don't want us to project?
No,
you just want to talk about the games after they happen?
I think you can take X's. The idea that Niang can't play at all in the playoffs is silly.
Gus, did you watch the playoffs last year?
Last year, last year, James Harden was half of who he is. James Harden is now the best point guard in the NBA right now. Right now, he is.
Ooh, boy.
I don't believe that.
Well, who's playing better? At point guard?
I mean, point guard. Yeah, I'd have to look at all the point guards in the league, Gus.
Who's leading the league in assists, Tom?
Gus, do you really believe James Harden is a guy who can win you a championship? You believe he's a guy who you can trust in those big moments to play 40-plus minutes a night? That's what we're talking about.
Do you want my opinion or just want to talk over me?
I want your opinion,
Gus. I believe
Gus.
That Embiid, Maxey, and Harden are the three best players on one team in the league, okay? I think they need to get something from somebody off the bench like Niang, and they can beat... If you get five threes from Niang, they can beat anybody.
Five threes from George Niang a game, Gus, that's not going to happen. Like,
why?
You know that's not going to happen. He's going to do that four times in a seven-game series.
I'll tell you one of the key factors of the Sixers. If Toby Harris doesn't play, okay, and if Niang hits... four to five threes, they have a real chance. The guy who drags them down is Toby because he's too slow and he can't jump. And he's out physical by all these better players against these really good teams. They're better off without Toby playing. And I hope that McDaniels gets more time because he's more athletic. Are the Sixers favored to win? No. But am I going to stop watching them because you're telling
Gus,
me that
nobody
see this nonsense?
Oh, my God. Gus, and I appreciate the call. Nobody's telling you to stop watching. When did I say stop watching the Sixers? It's not what I said. Like, part of what we're doing, part of what we do here is not only break down what has happened, but project what's going to happen moving forward. I'm not telling you to stop watching the team. I'm not going to stop watching the team. I'm going to watch them every night. But as we're projecting moving forward, the question coming out of that game is, I mean, does it change your opinion of where they're going? And you might not look at it, Gus, as a situation where, you know, they need to win a championship. And I don't think every season in every sport for every team is about that. I don't. I honestly thought going into this season for the Eagles, I didn't think it was about winning a championship. But for this Sixers team, it is. Like, with where they are, with what they've done the past couple of years, and where their seasons have ended, yes, that is what it's about. And if you don't, you know, believe that, That's fine. And if you enjoy what you're watching, that's fine. I'm not going to tell you they're not enjoyable to watch play or the games have not been entertaining. I mean, going back to the Memphis game last Thursday night, the last 10 games, I mean, they played pretty much, I'd say, if not all of their most entertaining games of the year, certainly the majority of them. But yeah, for this team, it's about winning a championship this year. That is what this season's about. And, you know, I think it's rather humorous that you talk about Tobias Harris, and I'm not a huge Tobias Harris defender, but don't talk about Tobias Harris's lack of athleticism and say George Niang needs to be on the floor more. Because George Niang might be the least athletic player in the NBA, and, I mean, he's not a guy who can play in the playoffs. And again, if you don't really care about that and you just want to, you know, enjoy the NBA, that's great. I mean, I'm not telling you not to. The games recently have been very entertaining. But for me, this season is about winning a championship. For me, this season is about how far can this team go. And after watching that game last night, as entertaining as that game was, as, you know, as good of a win as it was moving forward, I don't think it changes anything when you look at the projections and how this team stacks up with Milwaukee or Boston heading into the playoffs. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494. Does the Sixers win last night make you believe that they can stick with Milwaukee or Boston in a playoff series? I do not. 215-592-9494. I'm Tom Kelly with you till 11 tonight. When we get back, we'll talk a little bit about who I think needs to take more heat for the situation the Sixers are in right now from a roster standpoint. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly with you on a Sunday night, taking you up till 11 o'clock. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. A lot of stuff to get into throughout the course of the show tonight. Got some Eagles topics we need to talk about. Some Phillies updates from spring training. One, very concerning moving forward, so we'll get to that as well. And the Oscars is tonight. I just realized that now. I'm not a big movie guy. Are you a big movie guy, Nick? Do you think you've seen a lot of the movies nominated for the Oscars awards tonight?
I enjoy movies, but if I had to guess, probably not of the movies that are nominated tonight. I mean, is like Elvis and all that? Is that what's?
Just looking at the nominees now. Looks like Elvis is nominated for a lot of awards. What did you see? You saw the Elvis movie?
Yeah, yeah. That's about.
Is it good?
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, I'm a big like.
It's nominated for Best Picture, so.
Is it really?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a big like movie music guy. Like I enjoy it, I should say.
Okay, well, yeah. Maybe we can predict some Oscars awards later on. And if anybody has any movies from the this past year that they want to shout out, they want to recommend.
I also saw Top Gun Maverick.
Top Gun Maverick. I saw that, yeah. Too. I watched that movie.
What did you think about it?
I thought it was decent. I mean, it was fine. I never saw the original Top Gun.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't go back and watch movies from the 80s. It just feels feels too old. I don't know, but I saw Top Gun Maverick on the plane as I was headed out. Me and my buddies went out to the Eagles-Cardinals game week 5 this year, so they had some in-flight entertainment. I was able to catch it on the way out there. So
yeah, I saw. I mean, I'm a old man at heart, Tom. I might only be 21, but I watch like Casablanca, The Godfather.
You seem like you have an old heart, Nick. Yeah. You do. You kind of seem like that to me.
I love it. I love it, love it, love it.
But I got to say, that Miles Teller, very nice guy. Met him down at the ballpark. He came in, engineering the radio broadcast down there. Came in to do an interview with Murph. And the thing that was amazing, I mean, Miles Teller was so excited to see Murph.
Really?
And Murph is a local legend, without a doubt. But Miles Teller was like making a bigger deal about seeing Murph. Them and Murph's just playing it cool, like it's his friend forever. So.
He's Murph.
Yeah, so there you go. So Top Gun Maverick nominated for Best Picture. We'll look at some of these later on, and hopefully some people can give me some better input than I have, because I haven't seen any of these movies. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. But asking about the Sixers and whether the win over Milwaukee change the way you view them or validates the way you view them. Like, do you believe that win tells you they can hang with the Celtics or the Bucks in a playoff series? I don't, and I think it's a depth issue. Like, even if we're taking past accomplishments out of it, because with the Sixers, we talk about that a lot, the postseason history, the postseason failure of this team, of James Harden, and we hold that against the team. But even if you take that away, I just think from a roster standpoint, they're not good enough. Like, the bench issues that they have are something that, the Celtics and the Bucks, you know, thrive when they have their backups in the game. Like, those teams are deep. Those teams can play a number of different players. And over the course of a grueling seven-game series, when the intensity is ratcheted up every night like it was in that game last night, I think that's something that plays a huge difference. And ultimately, that's what I think will hold the Sixers back. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Ray in Moorestown. What's up, Ray?
Tom, listen, I'm coming to your with Gus. Gus, first of all, Gus is a fraud. Anybody that listens to this station religiously, like I have for the last 25 years, knows that after the Sixers got bounced out of the playoffs last year, we didn't hear from Gus for 3 months. I remember talking to Rob Cherry, and I was like, where the hell is Gus at? We haven't heard from him. He went into a bomb shelter, just like the snake that he is after they lost. Didn't have anything to say then.
Well, that, I mean, it's funny you mention that, Ray. And in full disclosure, I really enjoy talking to Gus. Like, I get worked up with Gus, but I like
Rob
him.
Ellis
but
I hung up on him I, when he was
I will
very
say,
disrespectful
I,
with there.
It's okay, Ray. I don't really care. But it is true that this is the first time I've heard from Gus in a while, and it's the day after Big Sixers win, so.
Yeah, all right, but we all know Gus is. I mean, when they win, he'll chirp, and when they lose, he goes in like Groundhog Day, and you never hear from him again for months. You know, come on, Gus, you talk about being a fan. A true fan will own up when the team is not good. The team is okay, but the problem with the Sixers is we've seen this show before. It's, you know, one or two and done, and then we're waiting for the playoffs the next year. We expect this team to be in the playoffs every year. What we don't know is if they can go beyond the second round. That's what we're waiting for, Tom. That's what we're trying to see. And Gus, if he doesn't understand that, why the fan base would be, for lack of a better word, tired of this the same production every season for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, that's why. Because we want to see this team ascend to the next level, and they haven't done so, and time's running out. That's why people may be apathetic at this point.
Yeah, and Ray, I think tired is the best word to describe it. Now, you know, obviously, you know, as a sports fan, you get invested, and we've been invested in this team for a while, and I think it is a byproduct of, you know, just with trying to get over the hump every year, seeing them not get over the hump, you know, it's very difficult to continue to go through it every single year.
It is. And just by the way they lost last year, just the lack of desire, the lack of effort those last couple of games in the series, just the way Joel has just kind of melted down when he didn't win the MVP, and just to see Harden talk about, you know, how he didn't pass the ball. And just, you know, it was the way they went out. They just went out with a whimper. And that's what turns people off. Real fans want their teams to win, Gus. We just want to win. It's not about, you know, we don't appreciate what they do during the season. We do. But when you get to the, you know, playoffs, you expect to see something besides a one or first round bounce. You want to ascend to the next level. And until they do that, and I fear that if it doesn't happen this year, we could be looking at a major overhaul here because, you know, Joel has already hinted that he may want to go play in Miami. You're hearing whispers of Harden wanting to go back to Houston. So, you know, that's just those are things we have to keep in mind. You know, if it doesn't happen this year, the window might be closing.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Ray, and I appreciate the call. And, I mean, we'll see. I mean, they'll get their opportunity. Sixers likely going to be the 3 seed. They'll get their chance, but – you know, I just can't get over, and it's not just what we've seen from this team in the past. It's really not. It's just the roster as a whole. I just don't think they have enough. Like, I just don't think they have enough. And this is why, when you look at it, the person who I'm most irritated with, and I just don't think gets brought up nearly enough, is Daryl Morey. Because you look at the trade deadline this year, he could have added depth to this team. Like, we're not – this wasn't like last trade deadline where we're telling you, like, you got to get rid of Ben Simmons and we need big-time return. We need to get a star back. Nobody expected that. We know that the Sixers don't really have a lot to trade. But was it that much to ask Daryl Morey at the trade deadline to like get a competent backup center, or you know, get some role players on the bench that can help this team.
What do you mean, Tom?
It was Paul Reed.
Yeah.
To kind of go all in and, you know, give up your picks for the future, whether it's second round picks or I guess the 2029 first is the pick that they had to give up. This is the year to do it. Like, this is the all-in season for the Sixers, and he didn't add when he could have. Like, Jared Vanderbilt, we talked to Adam Aronson, who we had on the show right before the trade deadline. He said, Jared Vanderbilt, you know, this guy is a perfect fit for the Sixers. Can do a lot of different things. He's versatile. Can play a lot of different roles. Utah was going to trade him. The Lakers, of all teams, who, I mean, you talk about a lack of assets. Lakers didn't have anything. I mean, they had, I guess, Russell Westbrook's contract, which I don't know who would want that. But they had that. They had a few picks. They were able to go out and get Vanderbilt. The Sixers get Jalen McDaniels. And Jalen McDaniels, sure, he could be a nice player in the future. But this team should not be playing for the future. Like, this is a team that is playing for now. And, you know, ultimately, the Sixers didn't add those players. And you need those kind of guys in a playoff series. And it's something that I'll admit, I used to underrate. I used to underrate that aspect of having a bench, having role players. Because in the playoffs, yeah, typically stars make the difference. But if there, we've seen anything in the NBA over the past couple years, that you need those kind of guys. Like, you look at the Bucks run to the finals 2 years ago, it was largely because they had those kind of players. They were able to win. Yeah, Giannis was great, but they also needed to have the kind of support also to win the Atlanta series basically without Giannis. Giannis didn't play a lot of that series because he was injured. You know, you need to have those kind of depth players. The Sixers don't have them, and it really frustrated me that Daryl Morey at least had an opportunity to improve this team and essentially just chose not to. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. I also need to apologize to the audience because I already made my first mistake of the night. The Oscars is next Sunday, so it's not even tonight. It's a shame. I was looking forward to watching that and following the results. Thank you, Joe Giglio, while I was on the show. So won't be able to do that, but I'm on 4-7 next Sunday, so then we can do a proper... you know, a proper preview of the Oscars next week, I guess. Maybe we'll still talk about it a little bit tonight. Who knows? 215-592-9494. Let's go to Dave. What's up, Dave?
Yeah, how you doing tonight? So, I mean, listen, the Sixers are my favorite team in the city of Philadelphia. I've been following ever since Barkley was a rookie. And this is really tough. I mean, I don't really feel like... I watched the game last night, and yeah, I was glad that they won. A little bit surprised they came back, but I kind of feel like you. I really don't feel like in a seven-game series in the playoffs that we're going to be able to do it. I mean, like you said, it's like an extra 3 months of the season, and I've seen this before with Joel Embiid, and I don't see how it's going to be any different this year. I'm really not the biggest Joel Embiid fan. I mean, I think he's definitely the most talented center that I've ever seen. But he just doesn't seem like he has it. He doesn't have the energy. I just don't like his energy. I'm not the biggest Joel Embiid fan. I was never a Ben Simmons fan. Thank God he's gone. I know a lot of it. I'm not a big fan of, I respect what James Harden's doing this year.
Who are you a fan of, Dave?
You know what? To be honest with you, I'm not really as big of an NBA fan as I used to be, but I'm hanging in there with it. I just don't really enjoy the game as much as I used to be honest with you. And I don't really see the Sixers beating the Bucks in the playoffs, and definitely they're not going to beat the Celtics in a seven-game series. We're 0-3 against the Celtics. I'm a little bit negative. I'm not going to lie. I just don't like the way the Sixers play. Yeah, I don't like the coach. I'm not a big Doc Rivers fan. I think we should have got rid of him 2 years ago. I don't think we stand much of a chance to get past the second round.
I hear you, Dave, and I appreciate the call. Man, I'll tell you what, if you thought I was negative, I mean, Dave just rattled off pretty much, I don't like this guy, I don't like this guy, I don't like this guy. He's like the anti-Gus. Like, we had a Gus at the beginning of the segment, and then we had Dave the bizarro Gus at the end of the segment. And, you know, I think I fall somewhere in the middle. Like, I don't think Joel Embiid, and we can talk about Embiid all we want, Joel Embiid's not the problem with this team. I mean, and anybody who would believe that, you know, you're just out of your mind. But, you know, it's something with them, and obviously over the last couple of years, that it's felt like there's a piece of them that is missing, like a championship attitude, something like that, that they just don't possess. But even beyond that, like, even when you take that part of it out of it, because I will at least admit that our lenses locally are probably somewhat, you know, colored by the fact that we have seen the past failures. I just think when you look at the, you know, when you look at the depth of this team, when you look at the roster, they're not as deep as those teams, and that's something that's really plagued this team the last couple of years, is not having those bench guys. That the fact that Harden and Embiid, why do they wear down over the course of a series? Because they're playing so many minutes. I mean, the Sixers have never had a legitimate backup center to take that kind of weight off Embiid's plate. They still don't now. You're counting on Harden, who traditionally has broke down as playoffs went on, to once again, you know, kind of carry that load for 2.5 months, playing 40 plus minutes a night, which is what they're going to need to do. And I think it's going to be really difficult, especially against teams like Milwaukee and Boston that just have so much more than the Sixers do from a depth standpoint, and can manage their starters and their star players' minutes just much more effectively. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. When we get back, I also want to throw out a side topic to you, because there was a notable return in sports last night, and we'll get to that as well. And this guy comes from a very athletic family, so we'll talk about that when we return. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly with you on a Sunday night. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Talking a lot of Sixers so far as they play a tremendous game, really entertaining game against the Bucks last night. Get the win, 133-130. But want to know if it has really changed your outlook as they move forward here. Because, I mean, for most people, not our buddy Gus who called in, but for most people, this season is about what can they do in the postseason? How can this team hold up in the playoffs? And I want to know if this, you know, makes you believe they can play with the Bucks in a 7-game series. You know, they can beat the Celtics in a 7-game series. I still, you know, don't see it that way. And it's not just because of the past postseason failures. And obviously, we've talked about that quite a bit, and that's why many people don't believe in the Sixers. But even more than that, it's just from a straight X and O standpoint. Like, those teams have benches. Those teams can go deep. Those teams can bring guys, you know, in to play roles when they need to get their starters out of the game, give them a little rest and keep them fresh. The Sixers can't. I mean, the Sixers basically have six guys who you feel somewhat good about, and that includes Tobias Harris. You know, that includes P.J. Tucker, who has been inconsistent times this year. Now, I think P.J. Tucker is a guy who will prove his worth much more in the postseason, but the Sixers don't have those role players. You know, they have Jalen McDaniels, they have Paul Reed, they have George Niang, and as I said, I think Niang is one of these guys. He's fine to get you through a regular season, but we saw it in the playoffs last year. He's totally unplayable. Like, he just gives you nothing. If he's not hitting shots, he doesn't do anything else you need an NBA player to do. You know, he can't run, he can't jump, he can't defend. Kind of a problem in the postseason. So, you know, that's my big takeaway. And that's what's frustrating about this Sixer team. They can do it in individual spurts. They can do it on certain nights. They can't do it consistently. And ultimately, that is what you need to be a real successful franchise and to, you know, make a championship run in the NBA. You need that depth. And it's something we've learned from watching the Sixers fail the last few years. 215-592-9494 if you want to get on that. Also, we will talk about the Eagles coming up in the next segment. Interesting developments regarding their coaching staff in the wake of the Sean Desai hire, losing another coach. And it's a little concerning. So we'll get to that as well. But I wanted to throw out a side topic to you tonight, because after the Sixers game was over last night, I tuned into the UFC 285 card that included John Jones, who was making his return after 3 years away. Now, John Jones off the or outside the octagon, I guess you can say, has had a lot of problems, PEDs, run-ins with the law, stuff like that. Just not a great guy, as I see it. But as far as performance standpoint, I mean, this guy is basically the best MMA fighter to ever do it. Like, he's incredible. He's really never lost. He had one loss due to, I think, you know, disqualification for something, but he's pretty incredible. And this is not just a guy who's come out of nowhere. Like, he comes from a pretty famous family. His brothers, Arthur Jones, former linebacker of the Ravens, and probably more notably, Chandler Jones, defensive end, played for the Patriots for a long time, now with the Raiders. And just the athleticism in that family is pretty incredible when you look specifically at Chandler Jones, one of the best pass rushers in the league for the last 10 to 15 years. John Jones, probably the best MMA fighter to ever do it at this point. He goes in last night 3 years away and gets a submission win in the first 2 minutes against another guy who's really good. So I wanted to get tonight as a little side topic, and we'll award, I guess, maybe, I don't know what we'll award. We'll award some Jolly Points or something at the end of the show to you. I don't know if I have the ability to award Jolly Points, but I'll give you some TK points tonight. There you go. So we'll do that. But give me an athletic family, because that's a very athletic family, the Joneses. Give me an athletic family. Does anything come to mind for you, Nick, right off the bat? If not, you know, you can chime in later on.
All right, so I don't like this family. Let me preface that. The Ball family, the LaMelo Ball, the I'm just not a big fan of that whole family. I think they're too into, like, the whole, like, publicity thing and all that. They care more about that than they do the game. But,
well, yeah, the most famous one, well, at least before LaMelo, you know, kind of made his name, was really LaVar Ball.
Yeah.
When he was promoting Lonzo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but no, that's a family that comes to mind for me. If not, yeah, I would say family all around, because if you're just doing father son, it's a little bit easier. But that's really not what you're looking for, right? You're like looking for like athletic family.
Yeah, yeah. Give me a family, like multiple people who, you know, and multiple. I'll say beyond two. That's a good distinction to make, Nick. Yeah, beyond two, an athletic family. Because I look at the Joneses, two NFL players, one really good NFL player, another guy who was solid for a lot of years. And, I mean, this John Jones guy, if you're unfamiliar with MMA, is, like, the best to ever do it. So, yeah, give me an athletic family tonight, and we'll have some fun with that as well.
Can I take another one off the board?
Sure, you can take one more off
all
the
right,
board.
Fine. The Mannings.
The Mannings. Well, there
you
go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Taking one of the best ones.
I know. Make it a little bit more difficult for people.
There you go. I like it. But yeah, obviously, Peyton. I mean, Eli's a fraud, but whatever.
Yeah, he is.
Like, I mean, I've come to like Eli more since retirement, because I actually think he's a good broadcaster and pretty entertaining. But yeah, I mean, certainly the Mannings are up there. One of the best family, one of the most athletic families. Over the past, over sports history, no doubt about that. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Herb. What's up, Herb?
Yeah, it was, last night it was good to see the Sixers win. We had a lot of people in the bus going home from work at the Wells Fargo, the ushers and the security people. It was a lot of people were, you know, we kept an eye on the last couple of minutes of the game. It was a good feeling that they came out with the winner. The problem that we've had for the last couple of years is that Joel needs to be in what you call a program, a weightlifting program, a program. I'm not talking about a bodybuilder, okay? I'm talking about just low weights, okay? I'm talking when they're on the road, they stay at very nice hotels that have pools and hot tubs, okay? Myself, because I used to lift a lot of weights when I used to play baseball, I always went in the sauna. I would a steam room.
Ooh boy!
I would go into the
Herb. I need to hear your stories about being in the steam.
Let me explain something, because this is the truth.
All right.
There's people, okay, that work inside the Wells Fargo, and I can't name the names, but the problem that they have. He needs to get in a work in a program, weightlifting program, and a hot tub, a cold pool.
Herb, I don't think. I mean, okay. I don't think.
Well, I'm going to try this. I've been invited over to Camden. Okay.
Over where? Where are you invited to?
I've been invited to Camden.
Okay? Kansas.
And I know people when they played in college. At LaSalle, Doug Overton, Lionel Simmons, okay? So this is no joke. You understand? You like jokes? This is serious, serious business, okay? We're talking about millions of dollars that are being wasted.
Yeah, but Herb, what is your point? Joel Embiid needs to lift weights?
My point is, you see the way Giannis, the last couple of years, you see his body?
Yeah.
You see his cuts in his body?
Yes.
You see the muscle in his legs? There's things that he can do, and he gets right up. Joel takes advantage. If Joel is one hit away from being done for the season.
Yeah, Herb, I get it. And we've
luckily, he made it this far already. You got 20 games or whatever to go, and that's it. You can say whatever you want, but I know what Joel needs. Okay.
Okay, Herb. You're saying he needs to lift more weights, right? That's what you're saying.
He needs to work out at a certain pace, one or two body parts. Okay. Michael Jordan went through the same thing. They never won. They never won. And then one day Michael said, "Man, I'm tired of this, man." And I'm going to start doing it.
I got you, Herb. Herb, I appreciate it. I got to move on. I appreciate the call, as always. I always enjoy hearing Herb's perspectives. The problem is, and I have been critical. I think many of us have been critical about Joel Embiid and, you know, how he takes care of himself. I think he's improved in that regard. Like, I do. I think Joel, if anything, you know, does too much now. Like, I think he needs... some load management, if you will. Like, I don't think he should have played in the All-Star game a couple weeks ago. I think in certain situations, you know, he should do less. I don't know. I think Herb's argument would have been much more appropriate 3-4 years ago than it is now. I don't think the problem with the Sixers now is because Joel's not in shape. I think Joel's in pretty good shape now.
There's
and I give him credit
inside
for that.
The building insight right there from
right.
Herb, Tom.
Yeah. And Herb, you know, and I'm not mocking you, Herb. I just disagree with that being the primary problem for this.
He knows. Lift weights, sauna, steam rooms, the whole bit.
I don't want to envision Herb in the sauna. I mean, come on, man. I can't be doing that. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. See everybody on hold. Get to when we get back. Also, we'll talk a little Eagles as well. We'll reset everything we've been discussing tonight. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP.